A week ago, I had the opportunity of the company of one of Beacon's former ministers, Reverend Brian Kiley. He was with Beacon for a mere 6 months back in 97, only part-time. He then went on to the Unitarian Church of Edmonton, where he is still. He spent quite some time as president of the Canadian Unitarian Council, and now he's the president of the International Council of Unitarians and Universalists, the ICUU. This is not news to many of you. When we ministers met last week, he was in the midst of a decision. Should the ICU-sponsored leadership school... I got to move this closer so I can hear myself more. Should the ICUU-sponsored leadership school for African emerging congregations set to start this week go ahead despite the violence happening in Kenya in general and in parts of Nairobi in particular? Much of the violence is at a distance from exactly where the conference would be held, but some is closer. The leaders of the school conferred with the prospective attendees. Email is wonderful. Many of them live with this kind of violence much more often than we would imagine. They were concerned, yes, but they wanted it to go ahead as planned. So Brian is now in Kenya and reporting his observations on a blog on the internet. The daily contributions make it so very immediate. His first log is copied into the order of service with the webpage address. He has written more about it since then, and I had to catch up on the latest this morning. At first, he wrote about his inexperienced traveler's response to the reality there. I appreciate so much his descriptions as well as his candor. One of the other leaders is Reverend Rosemary Bray McNatt, minister of one of our churches in New York City. She also has a blog, which I didn't know when I put together the order of service. So if you want to look at it, it's RevRose at RevRose.com, because it's very interesting as well. She writes from a different perspective, being a different person. She is the one who writes about the theology of the African Unitarians. Rosemary confesses that she has wondered what Unitarian Universalism might have to say to folks on the margins of economic success. Here she finds one answer. The Africans she has met so far are inspired by the life of Jesus, not by his beliefs as much as his way of living. They ask themselves if they can live out a life of compassion, as did Jesus. She gives the example of some hope-to-be Unitarians who shelter AIDS orphans in their homes, five or six of them in their household sometimes. They hold school classes for them in their living rooms. They care for the widows and widowers left after AIDS. And she speaks of the delight in looking out across a room full of black faces like hers, something she would never see here in North America. Something she's never seen before. She writes of how she is so moved by their earnestness, their interest. Both Brian and Rosemary would say they are as learning about as much about this faith of ours as the folks who came to be students. Compassion can be defined as caring for those who are less fortunate than you or caring for those in pain. It doesn't matter whether these others are people or animals or the earth. Their struggles become yours, at least for a time. You may know the current Salvation Army ad that calls us to see the almost invisible people huddled in the downtown doorway. These folks are not waiting for the doors to open so they can go shopping. They are finding a little tiny bit of shelter. Won't you help them, the ad asks. I ask, where does your heart stand? Matthew Fox says, quote, compassion is a kind of fire. It disturbs, it surprises, it ignites, it burns, it sears, and it warms. Compassion incinerates denial. It especially warms and melts cold hearts, cold structures frozen minds and self-satisfied lifestyles. Those who are touched by compassion have their lives turned upside down. This is not necessarily a bad thing, says Matthew Fox. I hope you know that Beacon is a partner in the Coquitlam Depot of the Tri-Cities Share Food Bank. Working out of Como Lake United Church, Beacon provides at least half of the volunteers who give out the food that we and so many others contribute each month. This started nearly 4 years ago now, in May of 2004. It's been a learning experience for both clients and volunteers. Certainly, schedules have been changed to include a biweekly stint in the basement banquet room of Como Lake Church. It's true that the volunteers have gotten to know each other better. I guess you would expect that. If you spend 4 to 6 hours every 2 weeks with a smallish group of folks, you get to know them more deeply, perhaps especially since they, too, have volunteered to venture just a few steps outside their comfort zone. What they have learned most about is relating to the clientele in an honest way, reserving judgment on the lifestyles they see being led. Sometimes a volunteer will bring information that helps the others understand the cultural customs of this immigrant climate. A few clients have become volunteers, and because they know some stories, they help our folks understand what's happening. All of this fosters a more authentic relationship. It allows for compassion. It's one thing to speak in the abstract about affirming and promoting the inherent worth and dignity of all people. It's quite another to apply it to folks you don't quite understand. Learning to let go of judgment seems to be difficult, but doable if you decide to do it. Even of the young teenaged girl who's pregnant again. Even for the usually pleasant guy who comes in surly and difficult one day. While one could be tempted to adopt and take care of some folks, it's really more gratifying when they get the information and support to take care of and advocate for themselves. They are so proud then, and we are so proud of them. It's also satisfying when clients recognize and comment on how well we deal with a client having a rough day and taking it out on the volunteers. Compassion works both ways. Another time, a client with time on her hands brought in dozens of pairs of knitted slippers for other clients. I need to thank Kathy Burpee for some of these stories. Her best story, though, is when three guys were standing there trying to figure out just what on earth was in this particular can of food. The client couldn't understand the English label. Dennis couldn't read the tiny print. And Ralph couldn't hear what the others were saying. But they were all working together, trying to figure out this particular puzzle. It was a picture commented on by a number. Seems to me that we learn about ourselves as well as others when we learn to be compassionate. I know we teach children to think about others, whether to share their toys with their siblings and their friends or to share their birthday cake. I also know that I need to be reminded to think of others. And maybe it's not only about being reminded to think about others, maybe it's going past that paralysis because it's such a huge problem and I don't know where to stick my finger in the dike. I might follow UU Minister Richard Gilbert's advice. Learn more about the situation. There are probably many other people and organizations already working on it. I could support them monetarily or even join them and become involved personally with the work. That would entail time and probably some personal spiritual growth. I could even get my friends, you all, to help me. And that's, of course, exactly what Sandy Burpee did with the food bank. He got you all to help him. And now many of us know so much more about food and housing issues in the Tri-Cities because of this. We need to thank Sandy. He's not here. You can thank Kathy, and it'll get back to him. In describing a model of the church, Gilbert believes that the congregation is first and most centrally a worshiping community. It is a place and a group of people with whom we celebrate life and all that life entails. In worship, we express the values and meanings which are central to our faith. Worship is what gives us the inspiration to face the challenges of life and is the motivation for all this social action. The congregation is also a caring community, a gathering of folks who give us personal affirmation and support. We celebrate deaths and births and marriages. We share common experiences together, cementing our relationships. Church is a place for lifespan religious exploration. And as well as learning about our living tradition, we learn about ourselves in the process. And with this quilt that I was going to wrap around me, but it's been plucked out of my hands, I want to spread the warmth and caring concern from us, the congregation, to the individuals we care so much about. I was so touched by the quilt that Northwest Unitarian Church in Southfield, Michigan had. I found it made visiting easier. Patrick's response was so real. It didn't matter to him until he needed it. It was a traditional piece quilt. Quite a few people had worked hard to stitch and sew it together. This one will be easier to sew together as it is a length of labels. Oh, what I need from all of you, is your signature on it. And perhaps some generic words of good wishes. So please write and draw outside the lines too. Immediately after the service, it will be in the community room where the children meet. It'll be laid out. I hope you can sign it. And then in the middle of March, the Care and Concern Committee will add the batting in the back and the binding, and it will be ready for visiting. Of course, it will be washed between people. And it'll probably sit for a bit, too. You know, virus dies after a while. But it will be the loving hands of all of us wrapped around everybody who gets it. I wish to close with this reading from a Unitarian Universalist meditation manual. It's called Fairy Godmother. And Krissa Palmer writes, I've appointed myself a fairy godmother. I carry stars in my wallet. Not the lick-it-yourself kind from when I was a kid, but those newfangled self-stick kind that come in sheets of gold, silver, red, and blue. When I saw a man at the ATM machine take the previous customer's card out of the machine and walk over and hand it to her through the car window, I waited until he'd finished his transaction. You know, people can get kind of squirrely at those ATMs if you approach too closely. When he turned around, I whipped out my star, selected a gold one, told him he'd earned a gold star for doing such a nice thing, and stuck it on his shirt. He was silent, and I thought perhaps he was shy or didn't understand my gesture. Then he got into his car, and I heard him say, "That's the nicest thing that ever happened to me." Another time in the grocery store, a woman a few aisles over in the checkout line must have picked up more groceries than she had planned and was balancing them precariously in her full arms. The man in front of her noticed and moved the groceries in his shopping cart around to make room for hers. I whipped out my stars, ran over between the candy racks to him, and told him he'd earned a star and could pick out whatever color he wanted. He smiled a toothy smile, selected a red one, and stuck it on his hand. The woman behind him smiled. The cashier smiled. All the people waiting in the other line smiled. And I smiled too. I have never had anyone refuse a star from me. I have seen big, scary-looking people melt, pride blossoming in their eyes, remembering the days in first grade when they got assignments back with a gold star on top. I have thought about encouraging recipients of my stars to pass the star on to someone else when they witness an act of kindness. Someday a star might find its way back to me here in Charlotte, North Carolina. or I might hear of someone wearing one in California. There might be a whole band of fairy godmothers and godfathers, and people who would realize that the way we treat each other really does make a difference. Who knows? The quilt we fashion today may come around to you some other day. Amen. Blessed be. At this point in our service, we take a moment to express our thanks and gratitude for the work that the church does in monetary fashion. There will now be an offering.